verses, Jeremiah 31:2 and Isaiah 51:3. Kim, you pop those up in a minute. Oh, wow. Oh, first and two, I got to thank Rosie's Cafe. You know, what a crack up. We ate and ate and ate. And then Rosie just started coming out and prophesying and decreeing and declaring, and it just got moving. And here's the good news. Thank you. If you couldn't even be here, if you just, oh, you forgot we had a conference, and now you are going, wow, I wonder why this Sunday is kind of different. You get it all. You can take it if you desire it, if you value it, it's valuable, and you can access it. The tapes, the CDs, a tape. They don't make tapes anymore, unless you're my son, who just bought a 2001 Subaru and went to the thrift store to buy cassettes, because they sound better than CDs. And he thought, well, this is a great way to get my music, which is pretty cool. He came back with a Creedence Clearwater Revival. I said, I used to listen to that when I was your age. Oh, anyway, CDs and DVDs, and it's online, and it's just, it is to be absorbed. And every one of us, 13 sessions, it just moved hand upon hand, line upon line, but it wasn't like an instructional, like linear. It was a circular, continual reaffirmation of what Jesus is all about. So I really am pleased, yeah. So Father, help me. I love you, Jesus. I mean, where would I be? Where would any of us be if it were not for you? We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have the peace that causes us to stare in the face of a storm and go back to the backside of the boat and fall asleep if we need be, or get up and tell it to be quiet if need be. It's really of no consequence or difference to us. We wouldn't know the joy that you carry because we would be still trying to find happiness in the world. We wouldn't know the hope of eternity and of redemption and of glorification and of becoming like you. We'd just be trying to make life better on the planet. And some of us would be buried under the grief and sorrows of consequences and sins, and we wouldn't know how to get up. Some of us would just be overwhelmed, and some of us would think that everything was beautiful and perfect, not knowing that in a few short years we wouldn't be here, and then we would have to wonder what happened to our soul. So we bless you, Jesus. I ask you, Lord Jesus, it is only you that can release and call forth a body, your bride, into her place of fruitfulness and fulfillment. Only you can redefine, only you can reframe our journey and put it into your divine perspective. Lord God, you said to me on Wednesday, you said, I want my inheritance. You said, I want my inheritance. And you began to make it so ever clear that night that your inheritance is our stuff. Our journey, our desert, our wilderness, our situations, our shame, our blame. You want it all. It's yours. You possess it. It's yours. And because you want it, we give it to you. And when we give it to you, then you take a place of habitation. You can sit in the midst of it and begin to actively, first and foremost, release us from what we were carrying because we thought it was ours, and give to us what is yours because you took what was ours. And we can start living life victoriously without anything changing. We can be happy when everyone else is sad. We can be at peace when everyone is freaking out. We can be in joy when the world is in sorrow. We can be in the midst of utter confidence when everything is falling apart around us because you overcame the world. You overcame the world, Jesus. You overcame the world. We are been called up by God in this hour, in this moment, in this time of history, for the church to come back alive in the midst of their circumstances and no longer cry to be delivered from their circumstances, and to begin to be a voice in the wilderness. Prepare ye a way for the Lord. He's coming. The high things are coming down and the low things are coming up. The crooked paths are going to be straight, that you are a great and glorious King, full of love and victory and triumph and glory. And you don't look at anyone's life in this room and go, oh my God, what am I going to do with you? you look at every one of our lives and go, I know exactly what I'm doing. Trust me. Let me have my way. Don't fight me. Trust me. Trust me. Praise me. Lift up my voice. Come alive again. Because I have you on my journey. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the highway of holiness. I am the one who began this journey for you, and I will fulfill it. So, Lord, thank you. I don't know how to allow everything that you are doing flow out, so I know just flow out what you want done. Everyone, Lord God, everyone. Praise you, Jesus. Would you praise him with me for a moment? We have to praise Jesus. There's no one else in the earth that can give us life like we have. Come on, Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus. You've opened our eyes to see you. We've begun to see again the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We allow you to come in and deliver and heal and make right without changing the outside, without pulling us from our problems. You become the overcomer in our problems. Yes, God. Thank you. Wow. When Brian did the offering, the first service, I was like, he used the same offering he did just service about Elijah and the chariots. And I really heard the Lord. And I was hearing the Lord, you know, gosh, wow, this is so good, because we need to see that the largeness of God surrounding our problems. And we need to see that our eyes are being opened to see our help, and our enemies' eyes are being closed to see us. And so I was just kind of flowing in that. And then when you did it the second time, the Lord reminded me, said, well, you got that wrong again, Steve. And I thought, well, what did I get wrong? And he said, no, I wasn't surrounding their problems. I'd care less about their problems. I was surrounding my servant. My chariots were around Elijah's head. The battle is over you. And all that is required for God to have victory is you to be in right mind, in right peace, in right faith, in rest, and allowing God to live. Everything that comes against us is to move us from the confidence we have in Jesus Christ. And the accuser who comes and reinterprets the journey and says, you know what, you're only in this problem because you missed God. The reason you're poor is because you didn't understand what God was saying to you earlier, and you made a bad decision, and those decisions came upon other bad decisions, and now you're really not where you're supposed to be. And so you live in this kind of shame because someone told you that it wasn't God's will that you be there. And not that God is saying, oh, I'm going to choose some for rich and some for poor. But let me tell you this. You know, your Savior became poor so others could be rich. And it just might happen that he might ask a few of us to be poor so others could be rich. But you can't make someone rich when you're wallowing in your poverty, when all you want to do is get out. What you begin to become a God, one who carries riches or releases riches of God, is when you begin to be aware that, my God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can abound, I can abase, I can have a lot, I can have a little. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And therefore, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. He'll give you the strength to walk through abasement, or he'll give you the grace to walk in abundance. It doesn't matter. Do you understand? The authority that the Apostle Paul had was not based on the position he was able to maintain on the planet. In fact, the greater his authority rose in God, the worse it got for him on the earth, in a way. But it didn't really stop him, because when he finally became the prisoner of Rome, he said, I'm not a prisoner of Rome, I'm a prisoner of Christ. What do you mean, Rome? You think Rome could put me in this jail? And I think he borrowed that from Jesus. Right? You see, we got to start borrowing some of this stuff from Jesus. Jesus looked at Pilate and he said, hey, you know what? What are you talking to me like this? Don't you know? I have authority to let you go and I'll keep you. Your own nation delivered you. What are you talking to me? He said, this is not my kingdom, or if my servants would be fighting. I'm not, you don't have any authority over me unless it had been given to you. Hey, we got to start saying that right into the face of your circumstance. You can't be here unless God wants you. And if it's here, then God's going to be bigger than you here. And we ought to say, let's not run from the wilderness. Let's find God in the wilderness. Let God find us in the wilderness. Let him overcome us in the wilderness. And then let's just have fun. Have fun. I mean, it's silly how we get so serious. But Jeremiah 31, 2, I went and we did a little workshop on one of the afternoons, and I sat. We said, okay, and we're going to make room for this in a few minutes. We won't take long. We just distinguished these three areas, the throne room, the tabernacle, which was the seventh feast. God tabernacled with us in the wilderness. He caused us to dwell in tents. He will do it so again. And Paul said, what God said to Paul when he was saying, God, please do something so I can get this thing off of me. And he said, no. Let me bring my grace upon you, because in your weakness I tabernacle, I host. This kind of glory sits on the weakest in this room. But we don't see it, so we're like Elijah's servant, freaking out because we don't perceive the glory that's resting on us. And if you don't perceive the glory resting on you, then you can't access the glory resting on you. It'll take a miracle of a sovereign hand to go and break through. The highway is a pathway. It is a pathway. It is Jesus, the way. It is walking with Jesus. And I love Petey closing on last night with follow me, which has become the theme over every one of our lives. Amen? Follow me. This isn't going to be anymore get saved and be safe. This is going to be come, follow me. And I'm not promising you anything but I'll always be accessible so you can always know where I am, so you can always know where you're going. And follow me. Follow me. It's going to be so good. See, don't get afraid, because right now we're living under the interpretation of life by the circumstances as our material worlds are afflicted, our relational worlds are afflicted, our emotional worlds are carrying burdens and griefs and sorrows, and we're living under there, and we're thinking, if I could only get out from under this, I could do it for God again. And God's saying, I put you here inside of sovereignty that's greater than stupidity. God gave me this new thing. We used to talk about free will of man and the sovereignty of God, and that's true. They're both in play. And I had to decide. He said, what do you want to trust in, my sovereignty or man's stupidity? I thought, well, I'm going to just keep trusting in your sovereignty, because it's got to be larger than our stupidity, right? Yeah. Even if it was your husband that got you in your problems, or is your wife, or is your parents, or the time in life, or your boss, it does not matter. Yeah. Once you bump into Jesus. And then he reframes it. He says, wait a minute, whoa, 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 whoa. I came here to touch these people. And I put you here so you could touch them. The Thursday morning, I was driving from preschool. I'd had a great day that day. Just starting over, I was at preschool and coming home and driving my car. Anyway, I was driving and the Lord began to speak to me, because I really took to heart. I was really surprised by the fact that God said, don't minimalize the wilderness, the wasteland, the desert. Don't try to get out of that place and rush over there. It's not an escape path. I am come to have dominion and overcome that region, and I want you first to give it back to me. You've taken it on as your own responsibility because you allowed the enemy to interpret that it is a series of consequences because you did wrong. You made a bad decision when you got married. You made a bad decision and got divorced. You made a bad decision when you started that business. You made a bad decision when you went bankrupt. You made a bad decision when you joined that group of people. You trusted everybody with everything. They took advantage. And you're going, I wish I could get that stuff resolved. And God says, why? Why would you want to resolve that? Why don't you just let me in it? And so I'm driving home from preschool. And I'm saying, Dad, this is profound. This means everything of my life, you're inheritance is my mess. wow, this is so good. Your inheritance is my mess. And he said, it's not even just my inheritance, but you don't understand. The cardinal or universal continual truth is identification, then deliverance. You are not an answer to someone's problem until you've been in their problem. You just don't have the same authority. Moses said, hey, I've been living in the palace and God gave me a vision and I'm here to rescue Israel. And I'm going to go help you. And basically, first thing we do is start making things go the way I see they should go from an Egyptian mindset. And so he kills the Egyptian. He gets chased out of his country. He's a wanted man. He's living in another man's religion, another priest of another religion, marries another woman, the daughter of that priest of that religion, and lives a life basically un-Hebrew. Can't even circumcise his own kids. It's like you're not taking my kids to Sunday school. And this is God's deliverer. But by the time he's now in Egypt facing the Pharaoh, it's an entirely different paradigm. He's just utterly dependent upon God. And it isn't about the great Moses. And I forget who told me, I was Ray, our dear father in the faith, said, yeah, Moses didn't just spend 40 years in the wilderness, he spent 80. Aren't you glad if you get conditioned how to live in the wilderness, if you got to live with the next group? Seriously, he went to the mountain that he used to sheep around. And that was the mount that God decided to be Mount Sinai, the place of his coming with the law and with the glory. So he's just kind of like, well, you know what? This is just good. This is just the process. Same with Joseph. The only person that successfully navigated into servanthood before salvation deliverance was Jesus. And the only way he did it was he knew that was his, and he emptied himself of his glory and came into the humanity and said, I'm here to be your servant. I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to critique you. I'm not here to tell you you're doing anything wrong. I don't need to tell you that. You already know it. I'm here to come under you and lift you and give you words of life. So it just, I was sitting there. I decided I was going to go sit in the wilderness because we had a time to go be there. See, these things are props, right? Like costumes. You know, things you put on so that you can feel like something that you're not normally. And they open a door if your faith allows and your imagination takes hold. And God often visits people in that place. He did all these props with Ezekiel, creative ways of demonstrating who he was to Israel through Ezekiel and help Ezekiel see what he was doing through what props he was told. So anyway, I'm sitting and I thought, I'm going to go sit between the American flag and the Israeli flag in the wilderness and just sit with my daddy. Because I've come to love God's ways in the wilderness. It's been a lot of years since he told me I can't get out, so I decided, then you get to come in. Seriously. In 2011, God pulled me into heaven and said, this is where you're to live from. And for 5 months, I did nothing but laugh at every feeble effort of humanity to try to alter God's plans on earth. From kings and kingdoms trying to shake off God's control to just my own effort to try to create a place where God would dwell because I did my part. And it just was funnier and funnier. It was just, I laughed at me more than anybody else. And then he said, now tell people where this is. And then write about this. And so it just became a year and a half process of just really locating and learning to live from and continuing to live from that wonderful tabernacle, that wonderful place of God. That I go into every day and I recalibrate. My entire being is redefined according to Jesus Christ. In heaven, everything is Jesus. In heaven, everything agrees with Jesus. In heaven, everyone celebrates the Bible and the words of God. And the promises you heard on earth in prayer are recognized and magnified and grow in grace in heaven. So when you are in that place, that's like affirmation booth. That's like, hey, I love you. Yeah, I know. No, you don't know. I love you. Yeah, I know. No, no, you don't know, Steve. I love you. Let me give you a big hug. And you go and you experience God. You experience God. You don't just learn intellectually. I memorized books in the Bible. They didn't do me any good because all they did was point back at me and say, you don't have what you were promised. Look what's wrong. Find the reason. Solve the problem. Get more holy. And it's like taking one shower after another shower after another shower on your own. And it just leaves you kind of really dry and dead. But when I found that God, everything he had ever said, he never expected I would be able to do it. He just figured he just wanted me to let me know what he was going to do. And so though I had grown old and I was barren and no longer could I produce and I had long lost my strength, he said, so what? Did I think you were going to help me? I mean, seriously, does God sit in heaven and say, oh, my God? First off, he doesn't say, oh, my God. He doesn't need to. He is God. OMG, man. What are we going to do? You see, there is nothing that's going on planet Earth, in your life, my life, neighborhoods, nations, that is causing him a bit of like, oh, no, if I can't get my church into the right place, then we might lose years of what I planned. As though he would entrust that kind of need upon us. The covenant we live in is between Father and the man Jesus. That's where the covenant is. Can't be broken because neither of them are going to break it. When we believe in Jesus, we enter into the benefits and the promises and the assignment of the covenant. And since Jesus is the head, sitting up in the throne room of God in the heavens, we, the feet that he's going waiting for the enemies, are standing down here on planet Earth, and we are one. So when I'm in heaven, when I go to prayer, when I just spend some time in devotion, and I don't go to try to force my circumstances to change or try to wrestle God into doing something, and I just come to receive who God is in me, for me, it's amazing. He just starts speaking of the world and the increase of his kingdom and his glory and his grace and that love and that embrace. And it doesn't just hit my mind. It hits my emotions. It hits my imagination. It hits my whole being. And before long, in a few hours, I am like, wow, it's like an entirely different way I see the entire world. You ever gone to a prayer meeting at like early morning or afternoon and you come in one way? And after an hour of prayer meeting, you walk outside and you go, whoa, what a beautiful day. Well, why did the day get beautiful? It's because you got in beauty. You see beauty because you came into beauty. You see where you are. You see beauty. You see, when God looks at your life, he doesn't look like, oh, gosh, I sorely underestimated what it would take. I should have started earlier and I should have made more rules. He delights in your discovery of what Jesus accomplished, and he understands that because of fear, pride, slavery mentality, we're going to begin trying to do our part so that he can do his part, because we really don't want to have an excuse for God to get rid of us. We want to control God that he has to like me because I'm keeping his word. He doesn't have to like you. Because you keep the elder brother mindset, the religious mindset, is the fastest way to feel God far away. That's all you feel, is he's far away. I don't even get goats to share with my friends. I work hard. I do everything God told me to do. I don't do anything he didn't tell me to do. And I work for everybody else too. And I don't even get anything. And then once younger brother comes in rebellion, returns home, and he gets a party. Well, you can. Have you ever felt that one? You will, if you haven't. Trust me. You'll feel the rebellion and the religion. Trust me. You just have to. There's none of us go, you know what? I know what religion is, so I won't have to touch that. And I know what rebellion is, so I won't have to touch that. And so we're just going to kind of just groove. No. I wish it was. God doesn't want it to be that way, because that's just another form of man observing and not living, to live. So I'm sitting there between the flags in the nations, and the Lord said in Jeremiah 31, to those who found grace in the wilderness when I came to bring them rest. I thought, grace in the wilderness? and rest. You came to bring us into a new discovery of you in that place. And then he took me to Isaiah 51, verse chapter 3, where it says that he will cause comfort to those in our wasteland, and he will turn our wasteland as into the Garden of Eden. Then I'm thinking, yeah, that's maybe Romans 8, because Romans 8 is all about the whole creation is groaning for the revelation of the sons of God so that it can be delivered from its futility. And we ourselves are groaning so we can be delivered from our futility. And the Holy Spirit's groaning because he's trying to help let us let go of what we're trying to save and receive what he's trying to give. And so, just sweet. Do you know how, look, if you can be happy where you are, that's not going to cost you anything more. If you can find joy in the place you're in, then nobody can take your joy from you. If you can find peace in chaos, then that peace overcomes the world. It's all Romans, John 14, 15, 16, and 17. It's all this dynamic of Jesus basically saying, I'm going somewhere that I'm going to bring you to. And once I bring you to where I am, I'm going to begin to allow where I am to be where you are. And Father's going to live with you. I'm going to live with you. You're going to hold my word. And the Holy Spirit's going to be all over you. And oh, the world's going to hate you. But don't worry about that. I've overcome the world. And they hated me, so they're going to hate you. And so right now, in this world that's convulsing in hatred, we're going to become so love-filled that some of us are going to go just walk into it. Just walk into the hatred. Just walk into the hurt. Walk into the pain. Not with a finger. Not with you ought not to. Why are you doing that? Shame on you. No shame. There is no shame anymore. Jesus wears the shame. Now he releases and opens hands. And the place that we have been placed in, see, because there's first identification, then there's deliverance. Some of us think we got ourselves here, when in the largeness of God, you're here because God has chosen a place of expression of himself. And in the backdrop of your life, he wants to reveal himself. He wants to do it in such a way that you are so free that your life that you're living no longer defines who you are. And once that liberty's come, you can start giving it to the rest of the group that's hanging out in the same place you are. Because if you notice, we're not alone. If you're in depression, thousands are in depression. If you're in mental torment, thousands are in mental torment. If you're in affliction in the body, thousands. This world is being just vexed by hell. But God conceived the plan of salvation in heaven, and he birthed it in hell. Jesus was born again in the bowels of hell. He became the firstborn of the many brethren. So authority comes after we've walked through something. Instead of trying to get out of it, we've gotten let God in it. It's fabulous. Because that's my identity. That's my identity. And that's my dad's inheritance. Over there where I live, that's his inheritance. Over here where I live, that's my identity. That's my residence. That's now his new residence. Jesus, the possibility of what's coming, and I'm going to stop here. The possibility of Jesus first setting you free and me free from where we are, not from it, but in it, freedom. Just total freedom, contentment, joy, peace, righteousness, experience, vision, liberty, life-giving. Walking around just going, I don't need anything. I don't. Seriously. I mean, you're loved by God. You stand before him, blameless and harmless. You have every heavenly blessing given to you already. You are adopted as a son. You have an inheritance given to you by God's intended plan. What is lacking? Other than we are in a bunch of messes. And the messes are God's inheritance. And if we can give them back to God, then God can say, hey, let me in. Let me clean the room first. No, I don't need to want the room cleaned. I want it in like it is. Let me get my life back together, then I'll let you save me. No, just let me in. That's what Jesus said to the church of the Laodiceans. You guys got stuck in creating an image that you were together, and you're not. And all I want to do is come inside of you, and I'll bring you into an overcoming place. Wow. So, I'm sorry, it's hard after 4 days in the presence to talk lucid. I'm beside myself. I want to open the door, because I believe the blessing's resting in this room, for access, and then begin to enjoyment. Access God in the wilderness. Access God on the highway of holiness. Access God in the throne room. The truth is, this is a circle we get to spend the rest of our life in. Sometimes we're high, sometimes we're low. Sometimes God is talking to me. When I sit in there, the glory, it's the funniest thing, the glory of God that I'm becoming comfortable and familiar and live from compels me to run back over here. Have you ever been in glory? You know you're in glory. You just want to go kiss everybody. You want to hug everybody. I love you all. I hated you a moment ago, but I love you now. It's just glory. And when you're over there, it's like, get away from my little piece of meat. Because that's your mindset. Poverty, lack. But can you imagine if the body of the living God, Jesus Christ, suddenly was not trying to spend their prayer life to get from there, but they were allowing heaven to come there? You're about to get a new job, and I'm going to give you a lot more money. And you say, well, I asked the Lord. He said, no, I don't need the more money. I don't need a new job. There's still people he wants to touch, and that's cool with me. Now, that's not my prayer, but it could be yours. No. Because you see, our mindset's like, whoa, God just came. But maybe not. You see, the Joseph is, get me out, and the God is, no, I'm going to stay a little longer until you don't need to get out. Then once you don't need to get out, then I can move you up and down the system anywhere I want, change your identity, use you as a witness, and I can save nations if you're not trying to save yourself. So think of this. Think of this. This is dynamic. Whoa, Jesus. So Father, I come right now to you with my friends, brothers and sisters, the family of Jubilee, everyone on the internet. We stand here, we sit here, we listen, we understand the truth of Scripture, but we don't have it functioning in the fullness that you want for us. Come on. I got to go to you every day, and it takes me hours at times before I am fully recalibrated back into it's all good, and I'm all set in place. Lord, I know what it feels like to have insanity come against your mind. I know what accusation feels like. I know what fear feels like. I know what being able to not control your thoughts because they have been overridden by the accuser, and you try to, and dread and fear. I know what shame feels like. And these are all things I came to know having known you. And they weren't necessarily, I could have always declared, oh, I'm righteous because look at the way I'm behaving. And my behavior might have been just explicit. I remember the days when I said, my goal is to be squeaky clean. But it wasn't life-giving. It was only when you began to bring me into your presence and say, I made you holy by my blood. I made you accepted by my son. I adopted you by my determination. I brought you into inheritance. Come, abide with me. Let's stand together. The Holy Spirit's going to do 4 things. Invitations out there. I can't promise everybody knows how to grab it or wants it. But the 4 things I saw right just then is, 1, he wants to take ownership by his blood over every situation in your life. Allow you to transfer ownership by the blood of Jesus. That's the purchase price for your junk and my chaos and my confusion. He paid it with his blood. 2, He wants to take possession of your current situation to come and dwell there. He wants to enter into the very situation we're currently living in. Not the good stuff. That's easy for us to praise Him in, but the bad stuff. Third, He wants to reinvigorate the joy of the journey, the delight of discovery, the pleasure of play. And we're going to wreck this piece of linen tonight, today, because it is meant to reflect a path, but it is not meant to restrict a path. So it's going to just be a path that we can stand on, dance on, walk on, touch, just to acknowledge, hey, I am in the way. And I don't mean in Jesus' way. I'm in Jesus the way. I'm in the way. I can't fail. I cannot go anywhere but triumph. I'm victorious in transition and change. And then the fourth thing He wants to create a clarity and awareness is your access to this wonderful tabernacle. And if you're going, I wish I could go into heaven, then just touch Him with your weakness, because He's already been there. He's like, and we're going to become aware of, wow, there's an access through Jesus into heaven that actually probably the place where I'm most received is where I'm most contended over. And so we live with no shame in His presence, and we learn to live with no shame on the earth, not because we just are calloused and hard-hearted and who cares, it's because we realize He did it all. He's doing it all. It's in a moment of transition. Holy Spirit, blood, acknowledge, recognition, purchase everything. Access to God, come back into my current place I'm living. Joy in my journey again. And again, the access and awareness that this is my home and I live from here. Okay? And then we're going to pray. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come down and begin to cause us to see these things, hear these things, know these things, be reminded of these things. No matter where your journey is, this is all the Bible. I'm not teaching you anything that's not in the Bible. It's just weird because we don't really believe it the way I'm teaching it. It's really accessible. It's tangible. It's to be experienced and know and learn. But He's going to come and He's going to give access and experience and faith and hope and love and fruit and joy. And then we're going to just, in worship, we'll begin to worship. And I would invite you to come up and touch the places as a point of contact. Touch the dance floor as a wilderness that says, Lord God, I just want you to know that while I'm leaving, but you're coming with me, and I want you in those difficult places I'm in right now. And I just want you to be there because you're the deliverer of me in there. Well, touch the linen, touch the path of the holy highway of holiness, dance on it, sit on it, sleep on it. Just, I'm here, and I'm changed, and I'm moving, and I'm traveling into the future. Jesus is my future. And touch the sukkah, the tabernacle, and say, Lord, that's my place. You can touch it, you can just touch it, or you can do it in your mind. You don't even have to leave your seat. It's all yours. Or you can stay here for the next 2 hours. You ready? I'm not converting you, I'm giving to you today. I'm giving to you what I have. Silver and gold, I don't have. No, I don't. But what I have, I'm going to give to you. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, I release the revelation of the blood of Christ that you have given to me in the face of every religious conflicting, accusatory force of hell, and silence the voice of accusation in any area and every area because of your blood. Your blood that speaks better than the blood of Abel does not ask for vengeance or judgment or correction, but asks for forgiveness and redemption and ransomed. I declare in the name of Jesus, revelation of the blood of Christ come to everyone in this room, everyone on the internet, everyone who will listen later. Come, come, blood of Christ. Shibura Baba. In the name of Jesus, that blood now purchase everyone's life, everyone's journey, their present, their past, and their future, their present, their past, and their future, the sins of today, the sins of yesterday, the sins of tomorrow, everything be swept in. It's yours. And let the blood now just, it would be like you were buying a house or someone was buying your house. But there was a finality of the escrow's closing. This is no longer mine, it's his. I know it's so hard on our minds to think that God would even want our junk, but that's what he paid for, is to have our junk, our ashes. Here you go. Go so far away. You didn't get screwed like you think you did. Yeah, your brothers thought they would take you down, but that isn't what God thought. He thought he'd just put you in a better place to save more people. Everything that has happened to you has a door of redemption attached to it, a door of victory and breakthrough. And the second thing I'm giving is the way the Lord just said, give the heaven access first. And then Diana started praying. I see angels everywhere. So in the name of Jesus, I now released the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus Christ into the place that he prepared for you. It's got your name on it. It's a chair. You can sit down and you commune. And God begins to say, this is who you are, my son and me. This is who you are, my daughter. I open the door of access that John the Beloved saw when he saw in heaven with the voice of God saying, come up here. Hear the voice of God say to you, come up here. Now I release. I give. Wow. Come on, pull a little bit, please. Jesus, oh, you're so good. Yeah, you are. It's like I'm giving you a thick malt. You got to suck on the straw a little bit, right? It's not going to come out with the spoon. Father, you love everyone in this room. Jesus, it's all about you and it's all about us. Everyone has a destiny. Everyone has a delight. Everyone has a dream. Everyone has inheritances. Everyone has sonship. Everyone is super vital. If we would but know how important we are in your heart, we would be released from all that is costing our imagination. So now, Father, in Jesus' name, I release the ability to know you in the wilderness, the ability to be delivered in you in the wilderness, the ability to walk and look at something that is horrific and then look in your face and see you and then turn again and see that horrific is of no consequence because you're so great. I declare and decree that which you've given me, the ability to fly through storms with you inside of me and beside of me. I declare and decree that now be given to everyone. It's like I declare that your eyes open now and see chariots of fire that are over your head in the midst of your circumstances. Whoa. And one last thing then, then we can move and get on with your day, but let God touch you today. Touch you. I give back the restoration of the joy of the journey. I remove every religious garment of have-tos and musts and gottas. I really take off the restrictions of man-made traditions that require us to observe, touch not, taste not, handle not, instead of pursuing and living and enjoying the one who saved us. I declare again that we can hear the voice of our Lord. Follow me. We don't have to look around. What about my brother? You sis, follow me. I liberate this house and every home and every family from any and all restrictions that have defined journey with Jesus back to the joy of Jesus. The joy of Jesus. The blood, the heavens, the wilderness, the path in and out, and back and forth are available now to us, reframed, redesigned. We're going to worship. You're welcome to come and sit in the presence, encounter God, and touch Him. You don't have to try to make something happen. Just if there's any confirmation, if you feel any of this could possibly, might be true, grab it and go home with it. And say, God, I'm going to help me, Daddy, this week to learn to touch heaven, allow you into my world, and to walk with Jesus in joy, and let the blood answer every charge against everyone. Father, sealed by the Holy Spirit, secure. We're going to worship. We're going to praise you. We're going to lift up your voice, Jesus Christ. We're going to access everything that you gave us because you want us to have everything you gave us. And we're going to enjoy you in every way today because you want us to be in great joy in every way. Release, give, manifest, demonstrate, Holy Spirit, what has been spoken and what you're doing.